All right, so if you guys have your Bibles, please stand with me if you're able to. We're going to start reading here. Stand with me if you're able to, and we'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start reading at verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Father in heaven, we ask for you to please open up your holy word to us. These things are challenging for many of us. Maybe this is the first time someone's ever been taught through these things. But we need you to please help us to understand these spiritual things. A natural man cannot discern these spiritual things. We can't. They're discerned only through you, Lord. You're the author. Please anoint us. Anoint my mere words here too, Lord. Help me to say the things you want me to say. And to help us, that we can help each other to learn these things so that we can learn. And maybe we need to relearn these things or throw away old bad man-made doctrine, lies that we've learned. So we come to your word of truth. We ask you, Father, send your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that will lead us into all truth and lead us away from the fake, the fictional, the fables that many of us, maybe we were spiritually abused, and we need to come to you with humility, to your word of truth. Teach us your ways. Teach us your word, for we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So as we start off, I do want to say that wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. You and I can know a lot of facts and have a lot of knowledge, but it takes wisdom to apply that knowledge. You got to apply it the right way. Here's something knowledge can tell you. Knowledge can tell you that great white shark teeth are sharp and dangerous. You guys know that, right? I've never been attacked by a shark. I've never touched shark teeth, great white shark teeth. But I have the knowledge. I'm sure you do. Who has that knowledge? That great white shark teeth are probably pretty sharp. Okay, so that's wisdom, or that's knowledge. Wisdom will tell you, don't touch a hungry great white shark. Yes, that's an actual picture. Some guys, always the guys, right, girls? Some guys were dangling meat off of a cage, shark cage, and here comes a great white shark. And the guy's like, let me take a picture. Let me touch its nose. Wisdom will say, don't do that. And again, it's always the crazy guys. I don't know why. So there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And so today, God willing, we're going to learn about a spiritual gift. It's a supernatural gift. You don't go to school to learn about these gifts. You're just given them supernaturally equipped and enabled. Amen? You, just like the people we study about in the Bible, especially the book of Acts and the New Testament church, you can be given gifts. Chances are, and I want your mind and your heart to kind of stew on that thought. Any of you guys make stews or slow cooking? Who here's done that? Or use a sous vide. We use sous vide machines, right? You just slow cook some stew. Sometimes, oh, that fall off the bone meat. Might take like 20 hours, 24 hours, right? Oh, we want you to stew in that thought. That God has given you a supernatural spiritual gift. And just like when it's your birthday, we have some people actually, it was their birthday yesterday, right? Paloma 18 now, I think. Right? Today's Andy's birthday. When you're given a gift on your birthday or at Christmas time, you just let that gift sit there, don't you? No. Where's my wife? I know my wife. I got to hide the gifts from her. It's like Christmas Day. She don't wait till December 25th. Or if you, anybody know what I mean? You got a gift at home, you got to hide it sometimes. So when God gives you a gift, these are supernatural gifts. It's a spiritual gift, a gift of grace. You got to open up that gift. You have to utilize it. So today, God willing, as we get back on track with our spiritual gift series here in 1 Corinthians, we want to learn about what the gifts are, and we'll look at and discuss a little bit about how they're used. And you may have already been operating in one of these gifts, and you may just not have known it's a gift. So some would say, well, God's not commanding and demanding that I have to know. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, though, God does say, don't be ignorant. Okay. Or if you say it like how I was a kid, don't be ignorant. Okay. Don't be ignorant. We got to be knowing. So first off, God opens up this chapter by telling us in verse 1 to not be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Hey, if you get to know your spiritual gifts, you'll get to know your calling with God. And each and every one of you has a calling with God. You are created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. In this church, you'll hear that. What's the address? Ephesians 2, verse 10. Okay? You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's okay. You got the right book. That's good. That's good enough. Okay? We know it's from the Bible. And by the way, check these things. So we learn also in verses 4 through 6, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. They all came from one Spirit. Different kinds of ministries. They all have the same Lord. And by the way, this is a similar way that the casual writing and reading and studying of this, you find what we call the Trinity here. You see the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father. Different kinds of ministries. Jesus, being our Lord, is Lord over all those ministries, true ministries. Not just stuff you want to do, stuff or things that he called into existence, and you said yes, and you went and did it. And there are different ways that they operate, or the effect, or the outcome. But they're all governed by God. It's the same God, verse 6, who works all in all. So you have the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father there, the Trinity. It's God that does all the work. And then we see here in verse 7, I want to park it here for a little bit, because this is the way that God unveils this. And if you could see this pattern and see this, I think it'd be more beneficial for us before we get into the actual gifts. Some of you are like, oh, I want the candy. Give me the gifts. Well, we'll get there in just a bit. Verse 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So I did the homework, the holy homework, so you don't have to. It's my job. I need to dig in the original language. And I did here. This is a screen capture in the upper right of that slide. On the display of my Bible study software, phanerosis, that's that word for manifestation. I think it only occurs twice in the Bible. Manifestation, it could also mean exhibition. It could also speak of expression. Okay, and one way that you can see this, if you observe God's word and you're rightly interpreting it within the context, is what we want to do here. And what's the application? Well, we could say it like this. It's God's will that you would be an exhibition or an expression of his love and his grace. Remember, these are gifts of grace that to the person that says, nah, God doesn't exist, or no, God doesn't love me. I grew up like that. My dad, my earthly dad, didn't love me, I thought. And so it was tough for me to hear that a heavenly father loves me. God so loved the world. Well, I guess that God so loved the world, I knew math, minus Drew. Like, that's kind of how I was thinking, nah, you don't love me. And it's tough. But that person, perhaps, that doesn't believe in the love of God or the grace of God, hey, if you allow him to fill you and to empower you, and then through you with supernatural, not natural, supernatural gifting, that you can be one to exhibit, to express the love and grace of God, then your friend, your family members that say, nah, God doesn't exist. Or he exists for you. He ain't done nothing for me. And that's how I was, and probably most of your friends and family. There are no true atheists. They're just people that maybe they got bummed out. Maybe they're lied to. But God could use you, Christian, if you allow him to, that through your life, God can exhibit, God can express His grace, express His love to lost, dead, and dying world. Who here is praying that either a friend or family member would be saved? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, most of us, right? Look around the room. Raise your hand and look around the room. Most of us, virtually all of us, right? And you're probably praying, God, get them saved. You're probably praying, God, reveal yourself to them. I imagine from my Heavenly Father's perspective, even through the lens of what we're reading here, it's as if He might lovingly say to you and me, I'm trying to, but You won't allow me to use Your life. So sometimes we pray, God, send them someone. And God's like, I have you. No, send someone else. Like Isaiah, right? Isaiah 6. Here am I. Send him. Here am I. Send her. Send someone else. I don't want to do the work. After all, man, you don't know them like I do. They're mean. They call me Bible thumper, Christian gal, Christian boy. They're going to hate on me. They're going to unfriend me on Facebook. Oh, the torture, this cross I bear. But could it be, Christian, that God has you there so that through you exhibiting, expressing the grace of God, you're going to grow, but they're going to know that God exists. And we got some brothers that are here. It's because of that same thing, that same principle, right? Praise God for that. And He does that. So God wants you to be an exhibition or expression of His love and grace. Think about that, Christian. How do you draw a picture of the grace of God? It's intangible. You can't. I've done this before, and I've done this with various crowds. I've done it here a bunch of times. If you were to draw a picture of love, what would you draw a picture of? A heart. That's because of marketing, American marketing. What color would your picture of love be? Red. Why? I mean, this is February. We just got past this. Why? It's not because of the Bible. It's not because of God's opinion. It's because of what we call marketing, right? Oh, will you be my Valentine? You see pictures of hearts. In the place where I work, they'll set up a display. It's all red. So they get all the red stuff, the candy, especially candy. Red candy, red flowers. What does that have to do? Is Valentine's Day, is that even biblical? No. It's just ripping off the attention, the affection, the glory of God. And we put our affections on someone or something else. So God wants to exhibit His love and His grace. I'm convinced He wants to do that through you. Will you allow Him to? Let me just take a time right now to encourage you and to do what I like to call nudging you out of the nest. Sometimes we won't do it unless we're compelled to, exhorted to, challenged to. Will you allow God to use your life, that through your life, He can show someone else He does exist. He can show someone else through you flowing with these supernatural gifts of grace that He is a God of grace. Will you allow Him to? But it's going to come at the expense of something. Jesus already paid the price when He died on the cross, didn't He? Amen? He already died on the cross. He's not going to die again. He already poured out His blood. He already shed His blood on the cross at Calvary. You've already been saved if you're a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian. But it's going to come at the expense of something. What's it going to... And I'm not talking money. It's not dinero. It's going to come at the expense of something. Christian, point to what it's going to come at the expense of. What is it? Steve knows. Yeah, yourself, right? Yeah, your pride will stop. Like, no, not me. Him. I don't have time. Come on. Her. It'll come at the expense of your own heart. Because you need to learn that God's a God of grace, even for you. And Christian, that's how you're going to grow. And that's how they're going to learn that God is also a God of grace, not just for you, but for them. Okay? Will you allow Him to use your life? So continuing on, look at this here. Even mentioned here on the slide. God wants to exhibit or express Himself with His love and grace through you. How? By allowing yourself to help His church through exercising spiritual gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Notice the verbiage here. That's why I like studying out the New King James Version in English. Very accurate. To each one. but it's for the profit of who? Not for the false prophet, for the profit of all. It's meant to profit the church. So God gives to you for you to give for the profit of all. Christian, let me take this time to mention to you yet again, and this is just one of the many chapters you'll find throughout the New Testament, every Christian has a calling in the body of Christ, in the church. So what is it that you and I miss out on? What does the church miss out on if someone is not exercising their spiritual gifts? We suffer. You suffer. I had a choice even today. I'm tired. I didn't sleep much at night. Woke up. I'm not saying this so you have pity on me. It's a choice to serve God. Even for me this morning. I had to work in a place earlier in the week. My ankle's kind of messed up. And yet, it's a choice. You would lose out if I chose to be selfish. So why do we not serve God? Point to who's getting in the way of you serving God. It's a selfish thing, isn't it? That's why Jesus said, hey, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, Luke 9, verse 23, step one, what does he say? Embrace self, deny self. Deny self. Second thing, take up your cross daily. For Jesus, his cross is what he had to bear for you. Your cross is not what you do for yourself. Your cross is what you do for someone else. Jesus took up the cross for you. You might also call that serving. A lot of people are like, I'm going to deny self. I don't want to serve. That's why you can't serve, is you might be embracing self. Well, what do I get out of it? Maybe nothing. Maybe it's just that you would grow and your life can finally glorify God. So the person that doesn't serve God is not going to grow. I'm going to tell you that if you've been here for like many years, you're going to hear that over and over. You're not going to grow. This, I need to be a preacher of truth. You're coming here because you want the Bible and Jesus. Amen? I need to point you to Jesus and I need to teach you the whole Bible, God willing, in context without man-made doctrine. You got to serve God publicly somehow. The gifts are given. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we all suffer if someone doesn't serve God. You would suffer if I didn't serve God today. I'm not saying that to, you know, be selfish or I want you to give me something. It's not that at all. I love Jesus and I love you all and I want you to grow. And I need to let you know, just like you, I'm just like you. God is no respecter of persons. I have to make a choice. That you would come into a service. People need to be served. They need to be loved. But I need to choose to deny self, take up my cross daily so that I can what? Follow Jesus. So that you wouldn't miss out. Now, how about you, Christian? Guys and guys, some of you are probably like calculating and going, I know I picked the wrong Sunday to come in. Well, I need to be like Paul said, him we preach. I need to preach Jesus Christ, warning every man. I need to exhort you. I need to warn you. I'm teaching. So I'm not just a teacher. A pastor is someone that needs to exhort the sheep, someone that needs to build up the body of Christ, equip the saints for the work of ministry, so that you can grow and God will be glorified. So that your prayers, you're like, God, use my life. God, I want to hear you. We sing those songs, right? I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. And I know a lot of Christians, they sing that song, and they're like, I'm going to give up because I can't hear from you. And Jesus, you say in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. I don't know what you're talking about. It might be because you're in the way. Die to self. Christianity is all about that, about getting out of the taking line and getting into the giving line. And we're not talking about finances. That's just one way to give. You can give God yourself. And if you don't, Jesus is Savior for your sins. So you die, you get your fire insurance, you go to heaven, you don't go to hell. But he's not the Lord of your life. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things I say? So if you love him, get out of the taking line, get into the giving line. That way you're a follower of Jesus. You're going to grow. The body of Christ will grow. Everybody here will benefit. And God will finally start to be glorified with your life. I could exhort you because that was me for years. Only take, take, take. Okay. So continuing on. Think about this. The purpose of God manifesting himself through supernatural spiritual gifts is to benefit the whole church. It doesn't just benefit the false prophet. Think about that. It's never for the private benefit of an individual. Now, when you look at the listing here, these are just the ones we want to ask and answer. What does the Bible say? There's, 17 of them here on your handout in this list. Which of the gifts is the only one that you might say is selfish? The gift of tongues, some might call it. It's listed here, various kinds of tongues. That's your personal, private benefit, so to speak. If God gives you that gift, you would use that predominantly in your own private prayer time. But the other gifts, they're given to you for God to work through you. Get it? And God wants to keep pouring out. And he wants to keep pouring through you. So do know as we move forward, each of you has God's calling on your life. This is why I need to exhort you. Because if just like me, if people didn't exhort me, I would just keep staying in the taking line. Oh, this is good. I keep coming to the Christian buffet. But no. You know, it's that old adage, right? Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man a fish, feed him for a lifetime, right? That's what we want to do. We want to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So each of you has God's calling on your life to fulfill some kind of ministry here. Every Christian has a calling within the church. You need to know that. If you haven't known that, then you need to know that. All right, so that's pretty much the intro here, not just to the message, but to this chapter in this book. But with this general understanding of these things, of spiritual gifts, as our beginning basis, now you and I can start to learn some of the specifics. So it goes from the general to the specific. Now we're going to learn some of the specific spiritual gifts that God has given to some of you. Now the first off one here in verse 8, he says, for to one is given the what? All right, so that's on your list here on top. Now this isn't homework, so you got to go through and write a definition. You can if you want. This came about because I did my own homework even before I was teaching. I studied, I looked at just what does the Bible say when I started to go through. Maybe God will convict someone here like he did with me. I started to go through this like, no, I don't want that one. No, I don't want that. I did not want a speaking gift. And when I learned of all the ones that God actually shows us in the Bible, again, what chapters are they in? Some of you guys know. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Yep, 12:12-4:4. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. Predominantly, those are the chapters that speak of the spiritual gifts. Other places you'll find too in the Bible. But when you see what is listed and enumerated as spiritual gifts, I did my homework, and this is what you come up with. Maybe you'll come up with something else. Let me know, and we can discuss. And when I studied through, and I'm like, okay, what gifts do I have? You told me don't be ignorant. I'm very analytical. Who else here is analytical? Okay, some of you guys are analytical. As you read through and you study, it's like, okay, what gifts? So we try to make it easy for you, okay, or easier. And you can look through those chapters in the Bible, and when you read through and study through, the question, and I ask the servants this question here. We ask them, like every 6 months, they fill out a self-evaluation feedback form because we want to give you the metrics, so to speak, so that you can know. For those that want to serve God publicly, that means you want to be a disciple, I want to disciple you. Because God brings you in here for me to disciple. Not just to be a congregant to congregate, we want to be followers of Jesus, amen? But I can't disciple you unless you can get closer. And one of the things we ask are things like, do you know how to determine the will of God? Do you know what spiritual gifts you have? Do you know your calling? And now we can start discussion on some of these things. So some people, they'll learn about the spiritual gifts, and they'll go, huh, maybe God's given me teaching. So we ask the folks that are serving here, if you know of any spiritual gifts that you believe God is showing that you have here that have been revealed in the fellowship. Why? Because the gifts are given to each one for the profit of all. The context is when God brings you into the church, he wants you to mature. Amen? He's a loving father, not a hateful father. He wants his kids to grow. So he's going to bring you in. He's going to feed you his word. And as you start to learn his word, and as you apply his word, being a doer of God's word, like James writes, you're probably going to find that the Spirit of God, if you're humble enough, and you allow me to disciple you, he, and not just me, and others here, He's going to pour out through you. You're going to start to see spiritual giftedness come out. This God of grace is going to have you have a gifting of grace, spiritual gifts, and these gifts are going to flow out through you. It's going to be so graceful that you may not even know it's a spiritual gift. And hey, let me tell you, when I started to study these things, and I don't know about you guys, I salivate over spiritual gifts. Anybody else? A couple of you guys. I love the spiritual gifts. I love, especially the closer you get to God, the more you know the Bible, the more you want to know Jesus, you're going to hopefully be like me and salivate. Oh, let me know about the gifts. But when I started to see the gifts, I started to realize, oh no, I don't want teaching. He started to show me supernaturally. He'd bring people to me. I'd be sitting down in a home fellowship setting, or in some of the churches I've been to in the past. And all of a sudden there's like an impromptu Bible study. And it would scare me to the point where when I realized what was going on, that he was bringing people and they start asking questions. But let's see. I'd go, okay, let's see what the Bible says. And we go in and I see people sitting around in a circle kind of like you guys with Bibles. I would freak out. I'd be like, okay, close my Bible. Bible study's over. That's how I was. But God was trying to get me to realize that was a spiritual gift that he was giving me. Many times, not all the time, but many times it'll manifest when you're just gathering with Christians. It could be in a casual time, maybe in a home fellowship. It doesn't have to be in a formal setting like here and now on a Sunday. But many times it will be that you're just flowing with the spiritual, supernatural gifts. And you need to know. Again, don't be ignorant. That's verse 1. So the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is basically a supernatural ability to speak God's wisdom. It's called word of wisdom. By the way, let me leave that. Okay, that's the page you got. Let's not go there yet. The word of wisdom. So it's a supernatural ability to speak God's wisdom. It's a wisdom that will come supernaturally. It's not something where, well, I studied, I read it in the textbook, or my past experience. No, no, no. Let me tell you quickly about a story. I had a friend, when I was in Bible college, there was a class that the pastor put together. And one day he couldn't be there, so he asked me and another brother to help lead it. It was called Symposium for Pastors, I believe it was called. Like men that believe that they may be called to pastoral ministry. It was a group of us. We gathered at a coffee shop, just kind of chewing the cud, talking about stuff, answering questions. And one guy brought up a question. And my buddy that was co-leading the class, he said, well, here's what you do. It was like, here's what I did. And right away, the spiritual antennas were going up. No, 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 danger, danger. What he was doing is giving this person experiential advice. It was not a word of wisdom. And it was not based on the Bible. It was, here's what I did. This is my experience. Here's what you need to do. And it really did not settle right within me. My spirit was just like, wow, like freaking out. You can't do that. This is someone that might fill a pulpit somewhere around the world at some point in time. And not only that, they're going to take that experience and then they're going to start to give bad advice, satanic advice, psychological advice, not biblical advice. And we're trying to raise pastors, potential pastors up. That really bothered me within my spirit the whole day. And this is when I was on staff, only through the grace of God, I was on staff at Calvary Chapel Bible College in California, in Orange County, when I was there. And that was bothering me, and I remember teaching a class, and it still stuck with me. It's like, Lord, what's going on? Do I need to talk to that brother? Do I need to do something? We got to report back to the pastor how we did in the class. And I remember teaching this class, and then after it was over, a friend of mine, a sister, who does validly have spiritual gifting and does validly know how to hear from God. She came up, she's like, Drew, I have a word from you. And I'm like, ooh. Now, I already knew this person by past checking things out, that this person was someone very accurate. So this person gave me, she's like, I don't know what it means, but this is something for you. And they knew it. It was something from God through that person to me. So I was just, you know, within my heart going, okay, we got to do something about this, God. So here's what this person said. It's Proverbs 8, verse 14. Like, of all the hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Bible, this is the only one that's like spot on. Proverbs 8, verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. So I read that. I'm like, with God, like, yes, sir. I knew I had to go confront my brother.
And I'm like, uh-oh, how do I do this?
This is her brother, who's a good friend. And I'm like driving, because I made an appointment. I'm driving to his place in my beat-up car. And I went to park, and God was, he's like, the light bulb came on. He gave me like wisdom on how to approach this. I'm like, okay, this person's a dad. I got to, and he gave me this scenario where I could picture maybe talking to this guy, telling him, hey, you want to talk, as a dad, you want to talk to your kids, right? So I parked, put up in the driveway. We sat. I think his kids were out playing. He's like, so what's going on? We sat in one of the, he had like these lawn chairs on his driveway. I'm like, you know, you're a dad and you've got kids and you would never want anybody to come between you as a father and your kids, right? He's like, no, of course not. Like, no one would. What would you do if someone tried to get in the way? You're trying to do, as a dad, as a father, you want to speak to your kid, and someone said, no, you got to go through me. Instead, it's like, are you kidding? And this is a big hulking guy. He's like, he's kind of feeling like he's getting into fighting mode, as many of his parents would. It's like, no, I want to talk to my kid. Got to have that communication, that dialogue. And I started to share with him what God was breaking my heart and how God had confirmed. It's like, earlier today, you had mentioned something. And I don't believe that's biblical. I believe that you're preventing God as a father to talk to his child. And his heart broke. I knew it was God, because this is someone that probably wouldn't receive it if I just came flat out and rebuked him. And praise God, because we became better friends. So that person, you know, understand some false ways that the gift of word of wisdom might be used is when someone gives advice based upon experience, most of the time, flow everything through the Bible, amen? Most of the time, someone tells you, here's what I did, here's what you need to do. Most of the time, you know what you call that? Basura. Okay? Garbage. Brown file, someone say in the office. Most of the time, it's not from God, because you want to hear from God, right? So let's say you're hearing advice from someone else that's maybe older than you, spiritually older, maybe has a position or title, and they're giving you experience. Most of the time, it's basura. Okay? Most of the time, it's just trash. But you want someone to hear from God and to give you that advice. Okay, we're going to have to close here in just a little bit because of time. One way that you could see the gift called Word of Wisdom used, you could turn there if you wish, but it's here on the display. Acts chapter 2, we do find an example in the book of Acts. By the way, you'll find all these gifts pretty much through the book of Acts, pretty much. Acts chapter 2, what Peter's doing, he's exercising spiritual gifts, and you'll see within the context of the whole chapter, he's exercising gifts that we would call prophecy, that's also preaching, word of wisdom, you're giving advice, teaching, so you're breaking down scripture, making it understandable and applicable, and exhortation. Here's what it says, and it's on the slide on the display here. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, after he's preaching to them, hey, you crucified Jesus. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter's asked, they're asking Peter, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? In response to that, Peter's not saying, hey, you know, here's what I would do if I were you, or my experience, or I read the psychological book, or I read on psychology today. What is he doing? He's giving a word of wisdom. Wisdom is needed for making decisions, for taking action. Knowledge is just facts. Okay, we'll get into that one later on, that gift. But what does he say here in response? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he's telling them to repent. This is the very first time that Peter is actually quoting scripture now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, but quoting scripture now within context. Chapter before, about a week prior to this time, he's quoting scripture, but he's taking it out of context, and it was not the correct time. Now he's preaching. Now his walk and his talk is in alignment. This is preaching with power now. This is exercising the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is not always foretelling the future. It can happen that way, not very often, but it can happen that way. The God's Spirit hasn't died. Amen? The gifts are still alive today. But most of the time, the gift of prophecy is seen today, especially in the church, whether officially from the pulpit or you standing on the street maybe, in not foretelling, but forthtelling, F-O-R-T-H, preaching forth God's word. What does he say here in verse 39? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And notice the commentary in verse 40. How do you know that he was exercising the gift of exhortation? And with many other words, he testified and, what does it say? Exhorted them, saying, from this perverse generation. All right, we're going to have to just pause here at this point in time. Susan, as we close this time, would we be able to end with a song? All right, we're going to have a time because we're gonna end for our teaching time here. But our church needs wisdom. You need wisdom, not just knowledge, not just accumulation of facts, but you and I need God's wisdom to make decisions. The church, this church even, needs wisdom here to make decisions for now and into the future. We don't want just opinion. Everybody's got an opinion, but we need to hear from God. You want to know what God wants you to do and what God wants your church to do. Amen? That's wisdom that comes from above. So I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. They set up here for worship time. If anybody wants prayer, though, as we close out this time, it's 12 right now. If anybody wants prayer, maybe that God would anoint you to have spiritual gifts. Or that God would reveal your gifts. A bunch of you have been prayed for previously. Or that God would use you and reveal your calling within this church. God's got a calling. If God's called you to this church, we pray that God brings people in that need to hear, that need to learn, that are hungry for his word. You've got a calling with God in this very church. You need to discover what that is because you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. I'm going to move over here a little bit. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer, but if any of you want prayer for that, whether it's one or some or all of you guys, I don't care how many, you can just simply come up to the front. We've got oil. We want to pray for you and anoint you with oil. I don't care if you've been up one time, a dozen times, 100 times. We still have faith that God can still anoint you, that God can still equip you and empower you to do his work his way. Amen. All right, let's all stand, can we? And if anybody wants to be prayed for, simply come up. I'm going to close with prayer, and we'll continue worshiping. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you please would help us here. Help us to know your will. Lord, we just want to surrender to you. We ask you, Father, that you please would anoint us. Baptize us afresh through your Spirit, Lord. And those whose hearts you may be tugging right now, Father, we ask that you would please help them to be humble and to surrender to you and the work of your Spirit. And help us as a loving church community that we can gather around your people, that they can exercise their spiritual gifts, that they can grow, that this year wouldn't be like the last year, that they can simply set their foot upon your path, that they would mature, and that their lives would give you glory. That he'd turn maybe away from sin or even the worship of self and being selfish, that you could pour out your Spirit not just upon, not just living in, but through them. Jesus, you say, we're thirsty to come to you. If we believe in you, and we do, as the Scriptures has said, and we believe your word, then out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. And we know that John tells us that's regarding the Spirit of God. I believe that can happen even as we're being used by you to pour out your Spirit, even exercising these gifts of grace, showing the world and the people around us that you are a God of grace, but you want to use each and every one of us. So use us for your glory, we ask, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.